It's here, the Omaha Steaks Cyber Sale. And there's no better time to score big savings on unforgettable gifts. USDA certified tender steaks, beefy burgers, premium air-chilled chicken, and so much more. There's something for everyone on your list. Don't wait. Shop now to save 50% site-wide and an extra 20% off select packages at omahasteaks.com. Plus, get an extra $35 off with code HOLIDAYGIFT at checkout. Hurry, sale ends December 2nd. Terms apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the Interior Design Podcast, where we explore the ideas shaping the spaces that we live, work, and play in. I'm your host, Hayley Roy, and today we're diving into a fascinating topic, the future of AI in interior design, artificial intelligence. Before we begin, a quick thank you to our episode sponsor, Harp Design, a multi-award-winning interior design studio based in the UK. At Harp Design, we create beautiful functional spaces for commercial and hospitality clients, balancing creativity with compliance from concept to completion. Whether it's a restaurant, hotel, or workplace, we believe great design is about people, purpose, and personality. You can learn more at harpdesign.co.uk. Joining me today on the podcast is Dr. Haider Raza, whose research explores how artificial intelligence can enhance creativity and innovation within spatial and interior design. We'll be talking about where AI fits in, what it means for designers, and what the future might look like as technology continues to evolve. Dr. Raza, can you tell us a little bit about your background and how your work intersects with both design and artificial intelligence?
Yeah, thank you first for the invitation. And I'm Haider Raza, and I'm currently a senior lecturer in the School of Computer Science and Electronics Engineering in the University of Essex. And I'm also a co-founder of a company called Sensivize AI, which is registered in the UK. And I have nearly an experience of 22 years in. I did my PhD here in the UK and my postdoc as well, and joined Essex back in 2017, the Institute of Analytics and Data Science as a fellow. And in 2020, I became lecturer, and 2022, senior lecturer. And in 2023, I founded Sensivize AI, which is a company and AI consultancy, which helping businesses around Essex and nationally to adopt to AI. And we operate in different domains, such as healthcare, manufacturing, retail, finance, and other areas as well. And we are helping businesses in AI consultancy, data training, data ethics, GDPR, developing pilots, agentic AI. And we have launched something recently called Syra, which is a Sensivize AI readiness assessment. And it's a framework for helping businesses to evaluate their health in AI. So it's like, for example, you want to adopt to AI and you have no idea as a business where you're standing. So we assess each organization on 7 different pillars, and you come to our website and fill that form, and you'll get an instant score via email and on the screen as well, where you will get, we'll assess your AI strategy and vision. We'll look after your data infrastructure, your AI infrastructure, your cultural readiness in AI. So there are several different pillars we assess, and we'll guide businesses that where you stand on AI pathway and what you need to do in terms of adopting AI.
Hello, Harvey. Hello. Yeah, good boy. So I love AI, and I went to your seminar recently, didn't I? And met a whole lot of people, and they were all talking about all different applications and what the future holds. So it absolutely fascinates me. And I've been talking to you just now, haven't I? I've been using a forum called Blaze. So it basically writes your social media for you. And it's not always correct. And you have to program it. tell it what to do. But actually, it's really saving me a lot of time. So that's one of my most exciting things at the moment. What's the most exciting or promising uses of AI in and around the design space that you've seen?
So AI playing a crucial role in design. And in arts, you see tools such as DALL-E, Midjourney. They come from generative AI background, where you train these models to create artificial images. But based on your prompt, they can generate images, right? So that is quite fascinating. And, you know, nowadays you see people around the globe, they are using it for various purposes, for creating marketing content, for creating designs. And my brother, he's an architect. And when I talk to him, you know, in his area as well, people are using to create new layouts. For example, an interior designer, let's say, right? They have a limited knowledge. They get it from their college, university, and from work. They meet different clients. But imagine you have an interior designer whose knowledge is, you know, summarized from 10 or 100 different interior designers, right? So that's the power of AI, because AI have been trained on the knowledge which is present in this world. So it can create more bespoke solution. But the idea is you know how to talk to AI. That's the challenge. And that's area is prompt engineering, where people teach you how to write a query or how to write a command so AI can generate content for you. Right. So that's what designers need to learn, I believe, that how to talk to AI. Because, you know, AI is a kind of a bot, which you would ask, it gives you. But if your query is not clear, it can produce anything. So In terms of a layman language, AI says, if you give me garbage, I'll give you garbage.
Yeah.
Right. So if I am not good enough to communicate what I want, AI can't generate what you want. So you have to be very specific to AI that what you want in return, right? And that people need to learn. And it's a part of co-adaptability as well. Like, for example, day one, you can't learn that. But the more you use AI, the more people will adapt to it, right? So for example, I have seen now grandmas and, you know, the people who are 70s, 80s, they are using ChatGPT. So if you install ChatGPT app on your mobile phone and you press a button, you can talk to ChatGPT, right? And people are talking about anything, right? And initially, when they start their conversation, they sometimes are not very clear in communicating. But as the day passes, what happens, they know that if I frame my query in such a way, ChatGPT will be better. So it's co-adaptability that we are learning, AI learning us, and we are learning AI. So
this, my 10-year-old son can speak to Alexa better than I can.
Exactly. My daughter,
because he's just grown up.
You won't believe, my daughter, she was one when she started saying some words. And from 1.5 years, she started to learn Alexa, because my elder daughter, she talked to Alexa. And in her own words, she talked to Alexa. Right. So it's quite fascinating. You see that, you know, how people are adapting to it. She can handle iPad. She's just 3. She can handle iPad better than like few people, I can say. Right. She know, and she's quite fast. She play games, you know, and it's amazing to see.
It's so cool, isn't it? How the kids are adapting to it. Love it. Oh, sorry, I had to pause there.
That's
because
okay.
There was a computer making lots of noise. I don't know if you could hear that. Sorry about that. So your recommended software would be Dahlia. Is it Dahlia?
Dahlia? It's Dali.
Dali.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
Still haven't used. I haven't still tried that.
It's a model. It's a vision model which creates images for you. And you see now the tools which are available in the market. At the back end, they are using such any tools. Like, you know, the brain is that, but you can create an interface. So there are multiple models coming from every big company. Like Google, Microsoft, Amazon.
Are they all going back to ChatGPT? Is that how it works? Or is it a similar?
No.
It's not?
No.
It's its own thing?
They have their own infrastructure, their own architecture of the model. Some are good in something and some are good in other things. Right. So, yeah. So there are different models. So you need to decide what you are doing.
See, I love ChatGPT.
Yes, it is. Because the point is that, you know, still, if you see that narrative, people often say that, like, for example, if you want to search anything, you don't say, I'm going on search engine to search the thing. I say, you know, Google it. Right. So although Google is just a platform to search, right? Same with, you know, engaging with generative AI or LLMs. It's ChatGPT, because they did marketing such a way that whoever thinks of generative AI, they think of ChatGPT first.
Of course, yeah.
So
it's very clever.
Yeah.
Very clever. Have you seen AI positively transform the design process? Has your brother showed you anything?
Oh, yes, of course.
Yeah.
So I remember he used to work on CAD software and then he moved to BIM and, now he's working as a BIM architect. And he told me that, every industry, within his industry, there are some industries and people are adopting to AI, to create tasks, to do tasks, which can be automated through AI. So, yes, he said his industry is quite welcoming because they are creative people.
Mm-hmm.
And they love to adopt to AI because what people can't do, sometimes AI can do for you.
Mm.
Right? As I've told earlier as well, that you have limited knowledge, but AI don't.
Yeah.
But you need the right skills to talk.
Yeah.
Right.
I've started writing really detailed briefs since I've been using AI. So I've always written a brief and I've always sort of used a CDM template. So I've always sort of asked specific questions or answered specific questions. So, but what I've done is I've got a project folder in ChatGPT where I've taught it how to write a brief. And I said, right, this is how to write a brief and this is what's got to be in it. And what I do now is when I'm on the phone to the client, if it's an inquiry, I will then type while they're on the phone and just write down everything that they're saying. Or if I can record it on a Teams call, great. Yeah. I've got a voice note.
Yeah.
I've got what's it called? I've been using this. I'm not sure if I'm going to use it long term, but voice notes I've been using. And so I can record our conversation here. I could just press record, but it doesn't actually record the voice. It records the transcript.
Yeah.
So you don't have to tell someone that you're recording it just because it's not actually a recording. So
now we use Zoom, right, at the work. And there is an AI companion, right? So previously what used to happen, we have to take notes. Now it's quite easy that we don't have to take notes. As soon as the call starts, the AI companion will start listening to you. And at the end of the meeting, you will get an email that these are the
amazing
key actions. This is the summary. And so it's amazing.
It's so good.
Yeah.
So ethical considerations. There's a lot of talk about AI bias and ownership. And I was at a conference last month in Miami. It was a women's leadership conference. Mm. And I got asked to speak on stage. It was amazing. It was such a good experience. But there was a lot of people talking about AI there. And they were saying that AI is biased against women because, And I wanted to ask you the reason that they gave, because I was like, where have you got this from? Why do you think this? Because it was a very kind of women-dominated place.
Yeah.
It was all women. And he said, the lady I spoke to about it, she said that because 75% of the people who are working in AI are men, it gives it a male opinion,
Let me try to...
What's your thoughts on that?
I'll give you an example. Before ChatGPT, because everything like ChatGPT is based on natural language processes framework. And before ChatGPT, there were some embeddings and, some packages available in Python where people use it to convert the text into numbers so machine can understand it.
Mm-hmm.
So there is a tool called NLTK, right? NLTK.
NLTK.
Yeah, natural language text processing, right?
Right, yeah.
And if you ask, generally what it does that if you talk about doctor, by default, he will think he. It will think he. And if you say nurse, it will be she. Right, so yes, there was some form of bias. But as we are growing the data, the more data is being used, now you see ChatGPT, although yes, there are some form of bias, but gradually it will disappear. And that's what we are trying to create, a human superintelligence, where we'll move towards AI, which will be unbiased. Definitely, if we train in AI on a biased data, it will give you a biased answer.
Yeah.
Right. So as I said,
we will even give a biased garbage, world, don't we?
Yeah. So if you give us garbage, AI will give you garbage, right? So
So if an image is AI generated, for example, who owns the copyright of that image?
So see, if you are paying a subscription to ChatGPT, let's say, or any DALL-E or Midjourney or any other tool, you own that image because you are paid for subscription.
Mm-hmm.
But there are, this is a debate.
It's here, the Omaha Steaks Cyber Sale. And there's no better time to score big savings on unforgettable gifts. USDA certified tender steaks, beefy burgers, premium air chilled chicken, and so much more. There's something for everyone on your list. Don't wait. Shop now to save 50% site-wide and an extra 20% off select packages at omahasteaks.com. Plus, get an extra $35 off with code HOLIDAYGIFT at checkout. Hurry, sale ends December 2nd. Terms apply. See site for details.
Debate topic and quite gray area. I would say if people are using an AI-generated image, they must tell the source, disclose the source that this is an AI-generated image. Right. So this is how you give a credit and you own the image, right? It's like acknowledging someone that he or she helped me.
Yeah.
But I own this because I have paid for the subscription. Right. So like, for example, we own a piece of land, right? We have a form of registry, which tells that this is my property, right? But although it's not our property, it's created by God or even though means by somebody, a superpower, right? So things like that, you know, like,
yeah.
So I think a disclaimer would be an ideal option. That, sorry, I was loud. Yeah.
No, that was me. So, I'm sorry, I kind of went like this, but it was because my tummy was making a funny noise.
So I think a disclaimer is a good idea where you tell the source that this image is an AI-generated image,
mm-hmm.
and you own the image because you paid for the subscription.
Yeah. I've been doing it with projects, and in some projects it's winning, and in some projects it's failing miserably. And actually what I'm doing is I'm saying to the client, I'm just checking in with AI at this point, because what I'm doing is adding the brief into AI.
Yeah.
And then AI is then, I'm using ChatGPT, and then that's coming up with an image. I did a wedding shot recently and I came up with a whole load of images and she loved them. Like, she really loved them. Then I did an office and it was an absolute train crash. And I haven't sort of done it as this is my work. I've done this as I've just put the brief into and the concept board into AI to see what it would come up with. And actually it's really interesting how it's getting better.
It will get better. I told you, it means the days will pass, it will get more trained, right? So let me give you an example. Like, for example, if I'm generating an AI image, I give that I need these type of fillers in my image, let's say. And if I say that, I need these type of fillers in my image,
mm-hmm.
AI generates those pillars. And I said, inside each pillar, write this text. Let's say in one of the pillar, it made a mistake. And if we tell to AI that correct it, it will struggle to correct there are some limitations which will overcome. So why these companies are releasing the new versions? Because they are facing the challenge. They're getting the feedback and their engineers are trying to overcome these challenges to create a better solution. Right? So yeah.
That's my point. Yeah, cool. That's amazing. So do you think AI could unintentionally erase cultural identity in design if you're not careful?
Absolutely. Right. For example, where these AI models were trained? US, right? And some of them Europe, right? And let's say if they collected the data, right? And the data they collected to train this AI avoided African boundaries, let's say Asian culture, for example, and it's trained on total Western media data, for example, and you can ask an AI to generate the content, it will be creating the content which is, more aligned towards Western design, identity, culture. Think that a people sitting in Nigeria or somewhere in Sudan, or maybe in Sri Lanka or India, they want to use that model. The design will be created will not capture their identity, right? So that's what, again, we are coming back to biasness.
Mm-hmm.
And over the time, this biasness will disappear. It will not go completely, but it will get better and better and better.
What was it? I heard as well at your conference that when you pay for ChatGPT or anything, pay for the, they, it doesn't store your data or use your data to develop. But when you don't pay, it uses your data
again,
to develop.
This is a very gray area, right? As we say, this phone which we are having, they don't listen to us. Then if they don't listen to us, how, if we talk about something, how I can see that ad on my Instagram? If they're not storing my data.
Absolutely.
Right. If
they are totally doing that, right?
If they're not storing our data, how can I see? If, let's say, if I'm talking about BYD or Tesla, I want to buy a car. The moment I open my Instagram, Facebook, anything, I'll see those ads. Right. So this is a very gray area. And means, you know, I don't want to be political, but this is quite political topic that who is responsible that they are not using our data? Because we are accepting their terms and condition. And as soon as we tick that box.
Nobody reads it, do they?
Exactly. So as soon as I tick box, gone. You are totally surrendering yourself in sharing your information. So the more apps you have in your phone, the more information you're sharing with the companies. And you never know whether they're using your data to train the models or not. You have private pictures, you have your kid's picture. You don't know, means sometimes you have your concepts, your designs. Everything's digital.
Yeah. It's all accessible, isn't it?
Yeah, so
means scary.
You took a picture on the paper. You created a design on the paper.
Mm-hmm.
You said, okay, I may lose this paper. I take a picture. You took a picture. It gone to Apple Cloud or Google Cloud. Although they are not, it is not public, but it's gone on cloud. It's
a
digital copy.
Can they use that for some other reason? Like
you don't know, do you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. So skill sets for the future.
Yeah.
What skills should interior designers start learning now to stay relevant in the age of AI?
Yeah, that's a very nice question. I would say the universities, the educational institutions, the schools need to think right, and especially the schools, because here in the UK, where what I can see, the schools are not getting serious about AI at all. I have seen schools from Middle East, from India, from Malaysia, from other countries. They adopted AI in their curriculum. And in the UK, it's not. Right. It's your choice if you want. But they should understand the fundamentals of AI. So if you are going to do a bachelor's in interior designing or any design course, marketing design or something. If somebody is learning AI, they must learn as a mandatory course the fundamentals of AI.
It should be like English and math.
Yeah, because I can see after 10 years, you can't live without AI. But if you don't understand the fundamentals of AI, you know,
you're going to get left behind, aren't
you? Exactly.
Yeah.
And the point I want to make here is there should be some mandatory course. Apart from that, learning the fundamentals. What is AI? Let's say, what is AI? It's AI, if I talk very general term, if I want to put a definition, it's all about it's a science about creating a machine which can act and think like human. That's a more bookish definition, right?
Yeah.
And which covers everything. For example, robot. We are designing robots. They can. Why we are creating? Because we want them to act and think like human. Why we created ChatGPT? Because we want them to act and behave like human.
We want an easier life. That's
right.
It's all about making life easier, isn't it, all the time?
Why doctors are using AI-assisted models to diagnose, let's say, cancer or radiographs they are using. Why they are doing so? Because they want a knowledge, a perfection, which human can't learn, but a machine can. So the task become easier. So that fundamentals need to be, you know, understood by the kids in the schools, in the universities. That, and what is the science behind it? It's a data which we generate is given to the system. to the machine to learn from that.
Yeah.
Right? And it's about prediction. It's about creating new content. It's about, you know, generating arts. So what AI can do everything. Right? But we need to, you know, we need to embed this culture that you can't live without AI in next coming year.
Absolutely. Yeah. I do think for, in terms of interior design, I'm using AI in design. And I've used a lot of programs like BIM software, and I find that BIM software is way too big for what I'm doing.
Very big area.
I use AutoCAD and all I need to do is draw it and then I've got a visualizer who'll put it into a visual. And I in my opinion, I think that job is going to be the first to go from humans to AI is the 3D visualization. But the actual high level kind of interior design, which is the bit that I love, and it is the bit that the AI can't do. It's not got the emotional side. It's not got the you know, you can't walk into a space and feel what needs to happen, you know. So I think that intuitiveness and the emotional side of
gradually
it interior will, designers are needed for that.
Gradually it will come, I would say, because the more data will be available. You know, what is the emotions? Emotions is what human feel, right? We are trying to create machines which can understand emotions as well, right? When I was doing my PhD, there was a fellow PhD student who was trying to recognize the emotions through brain signals, right? So it's not that people are not working. People are working. And gradually, we will come over there. So means I don't want to, you know, disclose, but there is one client for whom we are working on, like, there are CCTV cameras, right? And they want to, means that's their requirement. They want to understand the emotions of the people who are entering the store or a mall.
Wow.
So they can use it for marketing for sales.
Oh yeah. And then if you know somebody is a lot, you know, 50% of the people who walk in are really upset, or that's probably a really general word, upset, but like anxious, then you could maybe put something in place to make them feel more comfortable.
It involves multiple steps. If I talk about tech, we need to identify a person over there, which is we done through some object detection models. Then we crop their faces. And we train models on emotions, and we can identify that who's happy, who's sad, who seems stressed, you know, who means these type of things. So this is what we're doing.
I think I've sort of picked that up from you when I've spoken to you before. But in terms of, for me, like having learned a lot from you and from other people in AI, it is that I feel quite comfortable in the fact that I'm not, my job's going to still be there, you know, because actually it's the bits that I don't really like doing that AI is picking up. And it's the creative side of it because AI can't be as creative as a human, can it? Because it copies everything. Exactly. So everything that it does is a copy of something else.
Let me give you one more example. What we have recently did is, like, as I told you, Sensibyze AI do agents. We create AI agents as well.
Mm-hmm.
So recently, one of the Colchester-based local person, you know, a lot of electrician work related to electric and other fittings, these type of things. And he said, Heather, I have a challenge. I said, what? He said, you know, I work 9 to 3 on site, and I have to spend after 3, sometimes to 6 to 7 to answer my emails, to schedule appointments, to arrange my diary, to respond to texts. Can you help me? I said, yes, I can. And we have recently designed an AI agent who reads the email, reads the text, and schedules his diary, book appointments, and just what he need to do, he just need to say yes and no for the job. And so he said, you won't believe the thing which he used to do in 3-4 hours can be done in 10 minutes.
That's brilliant. I've been using an email bot called Fixer.
Yeah. There are many.
And I feel like I want to stop using it for a little while just to find out if I actually miss it, because I'm not sure if it's working that well.
So, see, that's what I'm trying to say. There are multiple ways, like, you know, there are multiple products in the market.
Mm.
Some are good in something, some are good in other thing. So having a bespoke solution according to my need or your need is an important point.
Mm.
Because if a client come to us and say, we need this thing, although I was using, let's say somebody's using Zapier to read the emails, right? He said, Zapier is doing good, he's reading my email, but what about, you know, sending or booking the appointments and, you know, can you do this? So we have to build another thing. So it's all about how we pull everything together to create a customized solution.
Mm, yeah, definitely.
That's an art.
Yeah.
Right. So programming AI is part of an art as well, where, you know, everyone have their own perspective where you, how you design a solution. And once the solution you created is helping someone feel comfortable, you know, and they feel very, very, like, you know, grateful to us sometime that, you know, you have done something great for us. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it? So in terms of skill sets for the future for interior designers, I mean, I think it's just kind of keeping up with it, really. I mean, I think that the way that I'm making sure that I don't get left behind is I keep putting design packs into AI and just going, what are you going to do with that? Make me an image out of this, you know, testing it and saying, what should I do with this? But also, using ChatGPT and the AI stuff in the emails and things like that, and just trying out. I mean, we as designers, we have to know software anyway. So, you know, it's just making sure that you stay up to date with the software and you use it. You know, it makes things sound amazing, you know, and get it to check your, this is my favorite one. When you've done a design pack or you've done a set of drawings, upload them all, ask AI to check it, and they check it and they tell you where all the spelling mistakes are. Because InDesign is not very good at checking spelling.
What we have done, like, you know, sometimes, let's say you created a web page for your product, right? And you need to give it to your SEO expert or sometimes your digital marketing expert to see and have a look. Try passing it out to multiple AI models.
Mm.
And get their perspectives, that what they recommend to you. And sometimes they are made, like, they do amazing jobs.
Really? Yes. I'm going to try some of the other ones that you recommend.
And let me give you an example. There was a mistake by one of the developer in putting, like, you know, like if you launch a website in the UK for your business, you put the register, like, you know, the company number at the bottom.
Yeah.
And it's an 8-digit number.
Yeah.
Right. And somehow he has basically missed that one of the number, and 7 number was there instead of 8. And you know, other developer of mine, he was just trying to review the thing, and he was using AI to review the stuff, and he said, see what I found, I could just take that instead of, so that means AI know that a UK company number should be 8-digit, not 7.
Yeah. And it checks it. If you, and one of the things I've learned recently is in ChatGPT there's a research mode,
yes,
and an agent mode.
Agent mode, yeah.
And that's been brilliant.
So have you tried agent mode for booking the flights?
Oh, not booking flights, no.
Right.
What is it, just going to give you the best prices?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Yes. Like, best price, it will give you a couple of options.
Mm.
You tell the agent what you want. Like, are you happy for a layover? Or, like, give your choices, your preferences, and see what it gives you.
Oh, my God, I'm going to try that.
Yeah.
I love it. But yeah, I think it does. It does just, for me, it just checks what I'm doing. I'm really creative. I'm not great at admin. So it's doing my admin for me, and it's doing things like...
That's why agents are important, because I want to say something, like, you know, people confused with AI agents and AI workflows.
Yeah.
So there is huge difference between AI workflows and AI agent. AI agent is an AI system which act as a manager and do the task by itself, and it's goal driven. However, AI workflows where you, like, for example, reading an email, sending it to the people, you know, and logging it, that's a workflow. That's not an AI agent. That's an AI workflow. So nowadays, people are designing AI workflows and selling it by the name of AI agents. So AI agents is more goal driven rather than task driven.
Mm-hmm.
And it has a power. AI agents have a power of making decision on your behalf, although they are riskier.
I think what I did was, well, what was I doing with agent? I was asking it to log. I was trying to upload a whole load of stuff to Shopify, and I was having loads of trouble. And what was I doing? I think I was doing something, and it was logging in as me, mm-hmm. and then it was just going, put your password in then. And then it was actually looking for what I was trying to find, and it was doing the job for me. And I was putting things together. I think it was in Shopify.
Yeah, maybe.
It was absolutely brilliant. And yeah, it blows my mind what it can do. It's great. It's great. But also, it having learned a lot about it recently, it's just an extension of what we had before. Just, people are just calling it AI, and it's a bit scarier, I think. But actually, we've had Alexas in our house for quite a few years now, haven't we? Well, I haven't.
And there is a whole anymore. Story behind Alexa, you know, like it's listened to every conversation. And that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
That's why Amazon's so successful, isn't it? Because they're just listening to what they need.
Exactly. So it means like, you know, it means home conversations.
Mm.
So that's what they recommend you on.
I know, it's so scary.
Yeah.
Can the police and stuff, can they like tap into people's homes?
Maybe if needed.
You would be able to, wouldn't you? Like technically, if you had the...
Please.
If you had
like for example, let's say... Like, for example, there are Alexas, there are mobile devices. So you need a power to listen to them.
Mm.
But if they need, I think they can do.
Mm.
But they need support from the service provider to do the job.
Yeah. So if the police had a suspicion that something was going down in a...
Yep.
Somewhere.
Yeah.
They'd be able to tap into phones and...
Definitely.
Oh, that's amazing, isn't it? Like, is it good? I'm not doing anything wrong, so it's fine. But yeah. If I was doing something...
Just the power is stopping the crime.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really good. So where do you think that AI currently falls short in the creative process?
Understanding, like, fall short, like, I would say, you know, it's going to be improved over the period of time in big creating more bespoke solution, more customized solutions. I think people need to also learn how to talk to AI.
Mm.
Right. So it's like blaming other that you can't do that. No, I can't do that, but you tell me what to do. Right. So the more data we gather, the more AI will become better. So it's very challenging to say at the moment that where we are falling short. We are not falling short. Gradually it will improve.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I don't think in terms of from an interior design perspective, I don't feel threatened by AI at all. I actually think that it's making my job easier.
Fine. And treat it as a collaborator rather than, you know, your enemy.
Yeah.
It's a collaborator for you who can ease your task and give you knowledge which you don't have. Treat it as a friend. Means I know some people feel scary about putting personal information, but you have so much digital presence.
One of my friends has gone to court recently and she didn't get a solicitor, and she's used AI to help build her case, and it's been brilliant. You know, she's got law, you know, and I don't know if it is correct, but you know, it's given her something better than she would have had before, you know. It's
what I have heard from a couple of my friends in London. They got parking tickets and these, and they asked AI, how should I get it waived off? Give me the clues. And they did it. They created a response, which is quite obvious and looks so, like, you know, so personal that, yes, it may happen. And it get waved off.
Amazing. Love it. What aspects of interior design can never be replaced by artificial intelligence, in your opinion?
That's a very tricky question. So I would say creativity. Like, creativity is there, but human creativity... Can you think anybody can overcome it? No. I would say, as I said earlier, treat it as your collaborator. And it will take time to, we can't create super intelligence, right? We are going towards it, but you never know how far it is. Maybe 50 years, 100 years, or maybe 5 years, right? It's a debatable topic. And in especially in design, you know, can you replicate Zaha Hadid designs? you know, means AI can do, means definitely those designs are which are available in the market, you can train the model, but he can create something new, which was never existed in the world. So
that, yeah, I completely agree. And I think that there'll be an element of, you know, cookie cutter.
Yeah.
Of like, you know, some people will want something that's quite generic.
Yeah.
So then that's fine. You know, if you don't want an interior designer, that's absolutely fine. But quite often in my designs, I find it quite difficult to create concept boards.
Yep.
And AI is helping me do that because
they're brilliant, isn't it?
Yeah. So what I'm doing is I'm like, well, I want that, but it's not that. It's that with that in it and this and but it's got this in it, but that doesn't exist, and I haven't got a photograph for that. And I can't find one anywhere. So then I go to AI and I say, please put that picture. So I take a picture of the interior and I say, make that interior look like this. And 9 times out of 10, it gets it wrong. But once out of 10, it's getting right, which means that at some point that's going to help.
So, I told you, it can be 5 years away. It can be 50 years away. It can be 100 years away.
Mm.
So you never know like when it can be,
yeah.
Because technologies are building so fast. Can you imagine my grandmother thinking that there will be a machine who can create images? Like if I, like when my grandmother was, let's say, was young, if I say, I mean, I'll be going to the UK when you'll get old and I'll do FaceTime to you. So, you know, she will say, stop talking rubbish, right?
So that's what we saw on Back to the Future, isn't it?
Yes,
back in the day. No. And then now everyone's doing it on the TV and everything.
So it means we don't know what's coming next.
Hmm. Yeah. But at the same time, I was watching it, something on Amazon the other day, and I was just like, the guy said, and it was an old program, and it was all about, I think it was all about something about work, the future of work. And I didn't realize how old it was. And it was like, it was about 10 years old. And they were talking about 2020, by 2025, a third of the whole world's jobs are going to get, and this guy had said this, and I was like, hang on a minute, it is 2025 and that hasn't happened.
That's the biggest myth, I would say.
Mm.
See, through AI, we are not replacing humans. We are putting human in a better place. We're just trying to remove the tasks which are laborious, unproductive.
Mm.
Like, imagine...
Admin.
Exactly, you know? So think about that. You know, means somebody's coming on a desk 9 to 5, going through the Excel files, paper records, and just filling the Excel file. Like, you know, at some stage it will become frustrating. If AI can do that job and that guy can do something better, what's the harm?
Absolutely.
So
when you speak to clients, are they, and I'd quite like to answer this as well, because I think I'm interested to hear what you're going to say, but I'd quite like to put in to this as well. How are clients reacting to AI in design? Are they more excited by the tech or are they wary of it?
They're excited. Sometimes some of them are worrying as well. Like some of them worried, right? In terms of... So they think AI is very expensive and it is not. If you design the solution right, it can't be... Means I don't think it's very expensive, right? I have seen, like, you know, if let's say... You have a problem in your car, you take it to the garage, you get thousands of pounds of bill, right? If you invest in developing something in AI, which cost you £1,000 initially, and which will last for 10, 15 years of saving your admin time of so much, right? So you have to think of return of investment, right? So that what I'm trying to say means people are scared sometimes and they're not very well informed. Right. That's why we are filling this gap. So the framework which we designed, I talked initially about Saira. So we ask our clients to come to the portal, fill the Saira form, which is our AI readiness assessment, and we'll judge you where you are. And we'll guide you that what you need to do to become AI ready.
Can anyone go onto your website? Yeah. And just get
it. Basic plan is free.
Yeah.
And the standard plan is, it's very cheap as well. It's like, for example, for SMEs, that's probably around £2,000-3,000. Mm-hmm. Depends upon what type of SME you are. So if you want to know about more, you are curious, yes, I have this. Let's say you scored 70% on five pillars, and on two pillars, you scored 30%. And you look curious that, you know, I want to know why I'm lacking behind, why I'm 30%. Come to us, talk to us, we'll guide you.
Mm.
We cannot make it free, definitely, because, you know, it's our experts who will guide you. They need to get
Nothing
paid.
Nothing is free.
Yes. So they need to be get paid. So that's why we kept it so reasonable. Mm. And it's not that we decided the price. We engaged with our stakeholders and we basically decided that, you know, do you think this price is affordable? Mm. So yes, people say yes. And then we have decided the price.
Mm.
And we are getting good response. It's not that bad. But yes, over the time, we are expecting to see more responses and people want to learn AI. Yeah.
Yeah. In terms of my experience from clients, I've had clients come to me with AI images now.
Yeah.
And saying, I think I want this, but I don't want it. But AI has come up with this for me. What do you think?
Confused.
You know, and you know, I've ended up in a completely different place to where AI has, because I've got to know the client and I've spoken to them and I've used AI to generate some images for them in that process. But I'm using AI as a tool to deliver something that's in my head rather than something that's going to give them what they need. And but other people are completely the opposite. There's certain people who do not want to have a Teams call with me because they don't know how to use Teams and they just want me to come and have a meeting with them, you know? So there's like this big gap and it's getting bigger where there's the tech people and the younger, you know, the younger people, but also the, and all the millennials and, but then there's the older people who are just, like, I just want to talk to a human being, please, you know, and that's multiple, becoming another luxury, isn't it? Talking to a human.
There are multiple factors behind it, right? You know, means people need human to talk. Right. Mm. So there was a very famous, I attended a training and they said to us that, you know, once you meet the client and you prepared a proposal, never send it to email. Call them on a call. And see that how the chance of converting that client would increase.
Go and see them even better. Yeah.
Exactly. So that's what, you know, sometimes those people want. They are confused and it's not about, you know, they don't want to do it because they don't know it. So you have to go with and start from very basics. Mm. Understand their requirements and don't make false promises that I'm going to change the world. Just fix their basic problems and gradually build the solution.
Yeah, definitely.
Right? Because what we have seen in healthcare, that whole healthcare will be transformed through AI. And people are there. So let's say there is an old lady for which we have designed some solution. She's saying that, you know, okay, I have to log all my details, what time I took my medications, what time I ate food, what time I wake up. But, you know, I don't feel motivated to log into this machine and do this stuff. Can you design something more creative because I love playing games on my phone? We created a game through which she can log her everything.
Is she happy?
She's extremely happy.
Do you know what? I went in the gym the other day. They've updated David Lloyd in Colchester. And I don't know if you've seen this, but they've got this like a sit-up machine. Right?
Yeah.
It's got a thing across your chest. Yeah. And on the screen, you log in with your card. And I was a little bit annoyed because I was like, I just want to do a workout. And they've got these new machines and I can't use it because I've got to log in and do something. Anyway, I logged in. I got over it. And then I started using the machine and I pushed it forward. And there was like a little dot on the screen. It was like a little line, and you have to like get the dots in the line with your sit up. I feel like I'm playing a computer game.
It's like gamification, you know. What they are trying to do, they are trying to build the motivation, because if you'll focus on the task, let's say I'm focusing on the task, I'm trying to pull up machine or I'm just trying to do something, and I'm not very keen to do. But if there are some other thing, they are diverting the mind in some other task. But subconsciously, they are doing this task.
Yeah.
Right. So psychology, you know, that's why in the university as well, you know, when it comes to AI, we have to think how it will be adoptable. Like, you know, whether people are going to adopt it or not, that's the point. And especially in healthcare area, adoptability is a big issue.
Mm.
You know, people don't adopt.
Yeah. especially older people, which is when most people are older, aren't they, in healthcare? So looking ahead, where do you see all this AI in 5 years, 10 years time?
So now the era, which I can see next 5 years, will be about agentic AI. Agentic AI.
Agentic.
Agentic AI. So the AI agents.
Oh, agents, yeah.
Yeah. So the science, so they have named is agentic AI, right? Why? Because they don't want to use agents as a noun. They want, they convert it into agentic.
Agentic.
Yeah, which is more, you know, yeah. So which is, so that's why it's, so next 5 years, I can see people will try to automate the stuff, right? Because AI tools are there. It's all about now automation and creating new agents. So as I told you previously, there is a difference between workflow automation, AI workflow automation, and agentic AI. So agentic AI is a manager who will make the decision by its own. So for example, I'll give you a very nice example. For example, you want to do a podcast.
Yeah.
You say, you said to your app, let's say, or AI agent, I want to do a podcast on AI. So what it will do, it will go to your LinkedIn, find AI experts, or maybe in the network around you, suggest few speakers to you, reach out to them, book an appointment, write a script for you. Once you are done with podcast, they will edit the edit, and they will edit video and audio.
Thank God. Please, can you make the editor?
That's an agentic AI. That's an agentic AI, because it is making decision on your behalf. But what is workflow automation? Is you decide who will be the speaker, what will be the script. Although you're creating an AI to create that script, but you are telling, you are writing the prompt.
Right.
But in agentic AI, the prompt will be written by an AI. Right? So the decision will be done by an AI. So it's more goal-driven rather than task-driven.
Yeah. So it's lots of, you've got the whole
autonomy, autonomous system. So it will, it has more autonomy in it. So that's what I can see the future of AI in the next 5-10 years.
Yeah, I mean, even sort of editing the podcast. I mean, I'm not a media person. Obviously, I am now, but I didn't. You know, when I first started 2 years ago, I didn't know how to use a lot of things. And when I started doing video, I was really surprised at how much AI was in the software. And it's really, it makes it a lot easier than it could be. It's still a pain. But no, it's not a pain. I love doing the podcast. But editing is
it's a big task.
Would be lovely. Yeah. Please can you move
there are
that
tools.
First?
There are tools.
So we've talked a lot about kind of the traditional role of the designer and how do you think it's gonna change that much?
Yes.
Yeah.
It will change.
How?
Learning, as I told you, the initiative should start from the schools, then universities, then educational institutions, workplaces. You know, they must spend or invest in the time of upskilling their staff, right? And I would say at least 4 hours a week, we should allow our staff to upskill themselves. Because it's not about you are investing in a staff and they will upskill and they will go. It's about if they get trained well, they will save a lot of hours.
Yeah.
And productivity will increase. The cost will go down. So it's about investing in your business. Right? So upskilling of the people is very much important. And I think every design organization should do that. They should send their, or they should subscribe to some of the platforms which are available online and tell their staff to learn these new skills, that how to talk to AI. Maybe prompt engineering is one of the examples where your staff can learn how to talk to AI. So
where would you go for that?
Generally, there are Coursera, Udemy, and there are different platforms online which where you can go. But there are a couple of good people also. If you search on YouTube, they are providing these courses, right? And there you attend their online classes, which will be more personalized, because sometimes people will feel bored listening to someone doing it. But if somebody were teaching you online.
There's some really good super prof I was using, and I was trying to learn how to use Vectorworks. And I learned how to use Vectorworks, and I decided I didn't like it. I found a guy and he was in Ukraine. I can't remember where he was. He was somewhere in the world and then he was somewhere else. He'd gone traveling, but he was still doing his job. He taught me a load of stuff about that. And that was like £40 an hour on Zoom. But so what excites you? I mean, you are all about AI. That's your job. What do you get excited about for the future?
First of all, I love learning. Every day I learn something new. Future is about making decisions better. And it's not only decisions better, making decision informed. So what my research focuses on, you're using AI to make decisions. Can we explain those decisions? So for example, we developed an app, let's say a technology through which we can detect this skin cancer, let's say. And if we explain that decision to a consultant and to the client who took that subscription to take the test, that's make life easy, because that can increase the trust in adopting to the AI system that I'm looking this part of the skin. This pinkness of the lesion is above this threshold. And it's often changing its shape. So, you know, you are explaining your decision.
Mm.
And that's where I'm fascinating. You know, I'm excited about it, that putting those abilities in any AI system. And it's not only in vision, it's about in languages. And that's where I feel I have to make contribution. And it's not me only, there are a lot of people working around the globe.
If it can improve the healthcare, make it less expensive to do because there's less people involved.
Then... Imagine a consultant is coming and looking at the radiograph. And that radiograph, let's say that consultant took 20 minutes to diagnose something, for example. But that image you fed to an AI, and AI make a decision in 2 minutes or maybe in 20 seconds and give you an explanation as well. I'm saying it's cancerous image because of this reason.
Yeah,
instead of seeing one patient a day, instead of seeing 8 patients a day, we can see 50 patients a day.
Yeah, which will absolutely make everyone's life better.
We are struggling in NHS is the waiting time in every department that can be reduced.
Yeah. If you could give one piece of advice to designers who are nervous about AI, what would it be?
Don't be shy.
Yeah.
Just jump and enjoy. Learn every day.
Yeah.
Start from basics of AI, then prompt engineering. Learn different tools, because in coming days, you can't survive without tools.
Yeah.
That's my advice.
So last thing, quick fire round. AI or intuition?
Yeah.
Favorite AI tool right now?
Favorite AI tool. Napkin.ai, Gamma. Gamma.
Paper sketching or digital render?
Both sometimes.
Yeah.
I mean, it depends upon what you are trying to do.
Yes, agreed. What's one word that you would describe the future of design?
Future of design. Bringing emotions in design, and like it's not like emotions and tradition, you know, like people need more personalized designs.
Oh, that's so what I'm all about.
Right. So hopefully in the future, we'll see those things. Design.
Yeah. I mean, I think some of the trends are all about that. The trends over the last couple of years have been all about, it's all about you. And, you know, trying to dig deep into what your brand is. Like if you're working with a business for an interior design, you've really got to dig deep into what they're all about, what message are they trying to convey. And if they don't know what that is, help them find out what that is, exactly. You know, what their why is.
People are investing a lot of money in creating brands. Like, let's say you establish your brand, that means you have done half of the job.
Well, everything else just falls into place after that, doesn't it?
That happened with ChatGPT, as I told earlier.
Yeah.
You know, means they are the first one and they created such a brand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's so simple.
Yeah.
Do you know what? It's really funny. On my Google, I log into certain things all the time, like my quoting program and my accounts program, and it all comes up in little boxes underneath. Yeah. They do everything except ChatGPT. It's really funny. And I wonder why. Dr. Raza, thank you so much for joining us and sharing your insights on this exciting topic. And thank you for Harp Design, our sponsor, transforming commercial spaces with creativity, sustainability, and heart. If you enjoyed today's episode, follow the Interior Design Podcast on your favorite platform and find out more design inspiration at harpdesign.co.uk.